Welcome, welcome, Chiefs Kingdom. It is game week, week one of the 2023 NFL season. Banner night, Thursday night in Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium versus the Detroit Lions. Chris, how are you feeling for another championship run going on in Kansas City, my friend?
It is finally here. I'm feeling good, man. It's nice having the first game for a lot of reasons. The number one reason means you probably were the Super Bowl champ, so it never gets old. And also, you get over those that anticipation faster. You know, the other 30 teams out there are having to wait till Sunday or even Monday. Now we get to go right away Thursday night football, banner night, Chiefs and Lions, and man, it's going to be a spectacle. I'm assuming you're going out there, right, CJ?
Oh, absolutely. I've been getting tailgate stuff ready all day. Friends been texting me, asking me who's driving and all. So it's going to be an exciting time at Arrowhead. I can't. They already emailed out the gate times opening. So I'm super excited, man. I can't wait. I already took the day off. So I'm ready to fully prepare for Thursday now.
Did you take Friday off too?
I should have. And it's based off the way the game ends. I'll probably call my employer and be like, hey, based off the way this ends or how I'm feeling, I may or may not show up.
Right. You may not be the only one going, don't feel good.
Body not feeling too good.
I am just, what time is the gate opening?
The gate,
for those that hadn't seen it yet,
should open at 3 o'clock, but air quotes, because, you know, things change based off last year. You know, if there's like a lot of people, it's extended capacity, you know, they may open them up a tad bit early. So Chiefs Kingdom, keep your phone alerts on. Definitely stay tuned to any social media where you get your Chiefs updates for sure. I'm definitely highly guaranteed they'll probably change that time just because you get so many people flowing in at one time. That, you know, the line on Arrowhead Drive when you're like trying to turn into Stadium Drive, it gets backed up really quick. So it can get into main traffic. So if it starts getting that far back, then you have to just open up the gates early. So
it's going to be a spectacle for sure. I can't wait for Coach Reed to, you know, probably going to be grabbing a burger from one of those fans there at 7 a.m. It's going to be exciting. But, you know, it's kind of – let's just get into it, because it is the Detroit Lions. That is a name that is synonymous with losing and horrific losing.
Chris with the shots. Bow, bow.
But these aren't your father's Lions, as some people would say, coming off a very promising – was, you know, a Seattle Seahawks loss away from making the playoffs last year. Look to, you know, get even better. Their team's trendy pick to win the NFC North, or at least, you know, finish in second and make a playoff wild card playoff berth in a weak NFC. But is that legit? You think those are good things they're saying about the Lions, or kind of where do you stand on this Detroit Lions team?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they ended the season on a good note. They beat Green Bay in Green Bay. That's been the big bad wolf in that division for like what the last 20 years has been Aaron Rodgers. So for you to go into his house and essentially his last game in Lambeau Field be a loss to the Lions, that's something their fans can hold on to forever. Because they haven't, like Chris said, they haven't had a lot to cheer for in their team's history. So they are the trendy pick and they should be the favorite right now to win that division. And for good reason, they have two good stud pass rushers in James Houston and obviously Aiden Hutchinson, one of their top picks from University of Michigan last year. So. And their offense was definitely one of the best in the league last year. They averaged, I believe, 27 to 28 points per game. Obviously, Jared Goff, he's the head of the snake. He's the one that sets the tone for everyone. Ben Johnson, their offensive coordinator, one of the smartest young and up-and-coming guys in the league. Another candidate that probably could have gotten a head coaching job if given the opportunity. So they have a lot of weapons, a lot of guys to work with. Amon-Ra St. Brown, very young, up-and-coming receiver. They have a great running back tandem, two new faces to the team, David Montgomery from the Chicago Bears, and then Jahmyr Gibbs, they drafted out of the University of Alabama. So Jamison Williams, their other receiver, will not be playing due to suspension. Everyone knows that. But overall, you can't sleep on this team at all. Their O-line is probably top three in the league. I would put them up there with us. They're very athletic, very strong up front. So it's a good group. They added some pieces on defense. C.J. Gardner-Johnson came over there from Philly. They added Mosley, the corner from the Niners, that came over there in free agency as well. So they picked up some good names and some good guys to go out there and try to win that division. They're going to come in here and try to win a ball game. You know how Dan Campbell is. He's not afraid of a little competition. So I'm expecting a dog fight for sure.
It's crazy that Dan Campbell's already entering his third year as the Lions head coach. Like, I remember just the whole biting kneecaps press conference and everyone being like,
"We're biting kneecaps.
Who is this guy?" And it, you know, props to him. Like, after they hired him, what, they started like 0-10-1 or something like that.
Yeah,
and then in 2021, and then finished that year off 3-3. People had hope. You know, they were not quite to this level of hype, but they had some hype going into last year. Mm-hmm. They started 1-6, and everyone was like, oh, no. And then they finish off the season strong and win 8 of their last 10 or whatever that math works out to be, a game away from making the playoffs. So this is the year. This is kind of the year that, you know, all that talk, all that, you know, progress that they've seen over 2 years, that it comes to fruition. It's just unfortunate that they drew the Kansas City Chiefs for them, you know, because I don't care who you are out there, like, trying to be the favorite in Arrowhead on banner night. Yeah, that just ain't happening. You ain't, it's going to be very, very difficult for the Lions. But they do some things well, as you alluded to. Their offensive line is very strong. They were 5th in the league last year in points per game on offense. Jared Goff, you know, it's kind of – we don't really think of him as an elite quarterback.
He's solid, though.
But he's quietly had a very good career. You know, who can forget that shootout with the Rams against the Kansas City Chiefs, 54-51? I mean, I know that Chiefs defense was bad, but not every quarterback they went up against dropped 50 points on him. And so he was able to do that. Took him to a Super Bowl that same year where they lost. He's had his moments. He's a number one overall pick for a reason. My thing is, I still, amongst all that, would say that, you know, he maybe doesn't get the credit he deserves. I still don't trust him. I still don't fully trust him to back it up, essentially. Again, another year in a system sounds good, and, you know, we saw a lot of promising things out of that quarterback. It's just, I don't know. I don't know if it's the Eli Manning effect, who had the same kind of feeling but still ended up winning. Obviously, he actually won Super Bowls. But, like, I get very similar vibes where, like, when you just watch them, you're like, how are you – as you know, have the stats you have, and then they'll have a drive or they'll have a game, and they'll be like, oh, okay, you're actually a lot better than – you know what? Am I crazy for thinking that? Like, I just no. – I feel like I'm watching two different football players sometimes when I watch Jared Goff.
And that's basically how his home road splits are. And I'm going to run some stats off for you. At home last year, Jared Goff threw 23 touchdowns. On the road, he only threw 6 touchdowns. So you're not wrong to have that concept. It's kind of like the Ben Roethlisberger home road splits playing away from the home. So, you know, when you're playing comfortable in that dome in Detroit, all the elements are controlled. You can kind of predict on what type of plays you're running on offense. And when it goes on the road, I think Jared Goff last year threw a total of 7 interceptions. 5 of those came on the road. And I believe in those 6 games where he threw an interception, he was 1-5 in those games. So essentially, whenever he did throw a pick and most of them were on the road, usually more often times than not, they lose. And like you said, their offense is explosive enough to keep up with other great teams. But Jared Goff is known to have a little, like, what's the thing they say about Sam Darnold? He sees ghosts when he gets hit a couple times in pressure. Or like what do we say about Derek Carr? You hit him a couple times and you may rattle the cage a little bit. So Jared Goff is definitely a professional. He was a number one pick for a reason, like Chris just said. He's a great quarterback, and obviously he can make all the throws, but he's definitely a guy that's not susceptible towards pressure. And if you get on him a little bit early, maybe you can get him to take one extra hitch, hold on to the ball a tad bit longer, and maybe get him to make one mistake. If you give him that one mistake, the trends usually show that's usually a key to success for your team winning a game, and especially the way it's looking, 95 probably won't be in attendance right in the game one. So having a good turnover in that game will definitely help out this offense, as if they needed any help anyway, Chris. But anytime you get 15 extra possessions, I think that's a good recipe for success, honestly.
Right, and I think that's the biggest concern. Like, even if Chris Jones was playing in this game, and he could show up tomorrow and he still would not be playing in this game, I fully believe that. Yeah. We probably won't see him till at this point, week 3 seems early. You know, it feels like it might be – I know a lot of people are throwing that Jets game out week 4, prime time, Aaron Rodgers, all that good stuff. That it would be kind of a flashy way to come. But anyway, we don't need to talk too much about when he may come back. It's just he won't be here week 1. We pretty much know that at this point. The Lions already have a great offensive line and an explosive offense. I'm kind of worried about them getting pressure because there are no, you know, Minnehue's out for 6 games as well. So your top 2 pass rushers are gone. All you've got is George Karloftis is the only one feared, maybe a little bit of an overuse because I don't think anyone quite fears Karloftis yet, but he's the only guy that you circle, you know, that if you're in the meeting rooms, like Dana's nice and, you know, now he's doesn't pressure the quarterback and, Wharton's, you know, going to probably be limited a little bit. Like, you know, no one else on that defensive line really grabs your attention with those two out. I think the Lions may be able to put up some points with Absolutely. If they can't create some pass rush. The only thing nice is that Spags, we know Spags likes to go in his bag, and he's great at dialing up. And it seems like everybody else, highlighted by Legarius Sneed, who's the maybe the best at doing those corner blitzes, will more than likely be active for the week one game.
Absolutely. We've gotten a lot of great news this week and over the weekend. And me and Chris were speaking on it the last couple of shows. If we didn't see Legarius Sneed at practice, our antennas would go up and we would be on high alert. But thankfully, we didn't get those news. We got the good side of the news. And Legarius Sneed has been active the last 2 days. They've been practicing. He's been limited, but hey, some practice is better than none. Kadarius Toney has also been active in practice this week. And I also got an alert today that Isaiah Pacheco has been taken off the injury report. So no more yellow jersey, no more shoulder hand injury. They say he's 100% full go, ready for Thursday. So those are great things to hear this week, especially you're going to need all your horses when you want to win a game like this, expecting 95 not to be on the field. So I'm glad to see all these guys are ready to roll and try to go get this win and start the season off on the right note, Chris.
No, definitely. It'll be interesting to see how they dial it up and who's coming in to get that extra pressure. The one thing that the Chiefs do have going for them in this game is that, yes, you keep hearing about the Lions offensive line and the offense they put up last year because it's all relevant. You know, the quarterback's the same, on St. Brown's the same, and most of the line, especially the tackles in the center, are still the same for sure. But everything else is different.
Yeah.
So they traded DeAndre Swift to the Eagles. Jamal Williams went down to New Orleans. They got rid of DJ Shark. And then there's another receiver who I'm missing that they –
I know DJ Chark left to Carolina. Jameson suspended.
Right.
Oh, they have Josh Reynolds. He's active.
Josh Reynolds is wide receiver three, mm-hmm. Who played a little bit last year. But, again, when he was available, Chiefs fans kind of wanted him, but the Chiefs passed on him, which kind of tells you what they think on him. Like, he's not – they do have Marvin Jones Jr.
Yep.
And they did bring in David Montgomery, and they drafted the Gibbs kid in the first round who's going to be – supposed to be an explosive running back. But what I'm getting at is that it's a lot of new faces.
Facts. And on the road, first game?
Oof. On the road in the first game with the quarterback who, again, kind of struggles on the road at times. So I think that could, you can go through OTAs, you can throw through camps, you can go through preseasons, and it all looks the same. But once you actually get in a live NFL game and, you're throwing to Marvin Jones Jr. instead of DJ Shark, like, I think a lot of us would think Marvin Jones is probably better, but he doesn't have those reps. So, like, what is that going to look like? Exactly. DeAndre Swift, they took a hit at running back. Like, this Gibbs kid, there's a lot of hype about for good reason. He looks shifty. He looks electric. He's not – you know what you had in DeAndre Swift last year, which was a very electric player when on the field. Jamal Williams couldn't help himself but get into the end zone. He was a touchdown machine. Exactly. And so those two are gone, and you have an oft-injured David Montgomery who never really felt like he lived up to his potential in Chicago, mm-hmm. and a rookie. That's worrisome. Like, I think that's the right way you want to face these Lions if you're not going to have your two best pass rushers is with all these new faces in their first game together.
Absolutely. And I think that defense last year, they gave up six games where they had 4+ 20-yard plays in one game. So they've been known to give up big plays. And obviously, we were expecting guys to be healthy. And now we may come into the game, Chris, with as much as talk we've had this whole offseason with the receivers, we may actually get our dream and our actually wants coming into this game, week one. We're going to have our full crew of receivers ready. MBS will be active. Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, Rashid Rice, Richie James, Justin Watson, and Justin Ross. There may be a world where all seven of the guys are active. So if you're Andy Reid, you got that play call sheet, and you get into the red zone, it's like a candy store. You can really call whatever you want when you get inside the 20. So having all those options, and we expect Noah Gray and Trav to both be active as well. So, and all three of the running backs that you used last year before Clyde got hurt are going to be active. So all these weapons coming into this game, into this matchup, and like Chris said, like, this defense is known to have been susceptible to giving up points. I think they gave up to four. I think it was 45 they gave up to Seattle last year at home. And then I believe the – Detroit Lions linebackers were bottom five in the league at covering tight ends last year. This isn't the matchup you want to be bad at covering tight ends. When you, let alone you got to cover Noah Gray, you got the best guy to arguably ever do it in 87. So there's a lot of good matchup that this offense can take advantage of. And being on the road, like Chris said, in a hostile environment with a lot of new faces for Detroit, this is a good measuring stick for them to see how good they really are going up against a defending champ, even if they don't have some of their best players. But it's still going to be a great matchup nonetheless, for sure.
Right, last year in September games, the Lions averaged defense gave up an average of 32.5 points per game in September last year. And, you know, they did, like, they did make some changes. They don't have, like, okay, Aiden Hutchinson is better than Karloftis at this point in their careers. That's why he was picked where he was. But he's not so much better to where, kind of like the Chiefs, where, you know, their top two pass, the Chiefs' top two pass rushers out, so Karloftis becomes the default. Aiden Hutchinson, they don't have anyone out. He's just their default most number feared pass rusher, and nobody else behind him. There's only one guy you got to circle, which I don't know. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Patrick Mahomes when there's limited pressure or other teams have to blitz to create pressure. He's pretty dang good at it. So, like, I don't care who they brought in the secondary with Johnson and Sutton and some of these other names. I don't even want to say started, but, you know, established veterans Detroit brought in to play defense.
Yeah.
They didn't bring anybody established to rush the passer. And that's the number one thing to stop Mahomes. And so you just stop Aiden Hutchinson, do the job on the rest of them. And Travis Kelce may have himself a day, as you said already. They were one of the worst in the league at covering tight ends. Oh, by the way, they had the full slew of wide receivers. It sounds like KT, Kadarius Toney, is going to play in this game. I don't know how many snaps he's going to actually take, but just getting him on the field for a little bit and having that threat of an explosive play, again, against the defense that was 30th in the league last year. And, you know, got a little better, but still didn't make huge leaps, in my opinion, looking at the roster on paper.
No, absolutely.
It might be a bloodbath offensively for Kansas City, which it is for most teams, even good defenses. Like last year against the number one defenses, they were putting
them up. Exactly. So.
But like week one, you've had all – Andy's had all offseason to prepare.
Oof.
We might see an efficient offense going up and down that field.
Absolutely. There's some good numbers that Pat has put up week one, but specifically versus NFC teams, Patrick Mahomes is 18-2. He averages 310 yards a game. He's thrown 50 touchdowns and only 12 interceptions. He has a completing percentage of 65%, has a 104 QBR. And these are just against all NFC teams. That's against that Tampa Bay defense. That's against that San Francisco 49er defense that we've seen. So, like Chris said, whenever Pat sees the elite defenses, he goes crazy. So, I feel bad for a Detroit defense with a lot of young faces and new players in a brand new scheme on the road in Arrowhead on Banner Night. I can only imagine how loud this crowd's going to be, Chris. So, yeah, it should be a good day for the offense for sure.
Yeah, it's gonna be like, I think that's one of the few things that I feel confident every week on, and especially looking at this Lions roster, it's like I just don't see how they don't, you know, with their basically being fully healthy. I mean, you just got your only bumps and bruises on the offense is Pacheco, who's not on the injured list, and Kadarius Toney. Everyone else that's relevant on the offense is good to go,
ready to roll.
So it almost seems too perfect. But again, you're talking about the three-time, but Patrick Mahomes specifically two-time Super Bowl champ, like having this time. Before we get to our maybe some of our favorite prop bets and whatnot, anything that you want to see specifically from this game?
I just want to see guys mainly as far as defensive, I know it's going to be a struggle at times, mainly because Chris not being there, but just focus on tackling in space, like wrapping up. Because we know like in preseason and really in practice, you don't really get a lot of time to really live tackle. And that's really like the thing that takes the longest for teams to usually trend and get in their condition and get their legs underneath them and kind of get in rhythm. Once you get to like week four, week five is tackling, because you don't really get to live tackle and practice that much. And most of the starters don't get a whole game full of reps, because in the preseason you play what, a couple of drives, maybe a quarter at most. So you haven't really tackled a live player, have to get up, hear a play call and do it again for a full 3-4 quarter game. So that's definitely the biggest thing I'm expecting them to maybe struggle at times, because I know it's week one, but that's the thing that I'm definitely wanting them to do the best they can to do for sure. Week one is try to get guys on the ground and don't give up too many yards after catch. I know they're explosive players, but try to do your best to just get guys on the ground and give the ball back to your offense, because we know what they do when they have the ball for sure.
Again, you say the explosive players. I really only currently see one explosive known player on the field for them.
Yeah,
like everyone else is unknown or new to the system. We're getting older, in Marvin Jones' case, who's returning back to, you know, wasn't Detroit, he's coming back. not under this resume, though. But the number one thing I want to see does concern Amon St. Brown is I want to see McDuffie on him. I want to see McDuffie lock him up, because, again, that's the only guy that I'm scared of going into the game. Yeah. If the other unknown commodities are able to move up and down the field, it's probably because the Chiefs weren't able to generate a lot of pass rush, or, you know, maybe they're going to surprise us. But really, I just want to see, they've got one weapon that truly scares you, and I want to see how McDuffie specifically does on that, because I think that's huge, having a guy that you can either A, locks up half the field, or B, can follow the number one receiver. Is absolutely huge. It's just ginormous on playing defense. And so if McDuffie's going to be tested right away, and him taking that next step could really pay dividends, especially with us not knowing how long Chris Jones is going to be out without a Minshew for 6 weeks. Like, that could be huge in the progression of this defense. The other thing that I think everyone's kind of wants to see about that we haven't surprisingly touched on that much is the second favorite topic of the offseason behind Chris Jones.
Uh-oh.
The wide receiver room and kind of whose role is what week one. You know, everyone likes Ross, and, you know, Moore has mixed reviews, but you still want to see him take that next step. And then Rice has also mixed reviews after his preseason. But it seems like Ross and Rice are kind of in that fifth, sixth, seventh wide receiver role. I'm interested to see how much playing time they actually get week one, and also how involved Sky Moore is in the offense. Because everything sounds like Sky is going to be in that slot, getting a lot of looks.
No, you can tell, like, the production and actually the respect that Sky Moore getting has changed compared to last year. Just to look at, like, not to preview our betting segment, but this time last year, Sky Moore anytime touchdown was, like, plus 400. Now you look at it, he's, like, minus 125. So the respect has been gained for Sky Moore. The offense knows, Vegas knows that they're going to target him a lot in this offense, and as he should. When you lose guys like Mecole Hardman and Juju Smith-Schuster, that void is gone. So somebody has to step up and be that number one or number two guy as far as, like, snap count in the receiver room, because we all pretty much know MVS and Sky should be the top two guys as far as getting that consistent snap count every week to week. And then 3 through 5 can kind of, like Chris said, it's kind of like your pick of the litter at that point. It could be a Rashee Rice week sometimes. It could be a KT week. It could be a Richie James week, Justin Watson, Justin Ross. You really don't know who is going to be. But I think the two consistent guys you can expect this year and consistently week to week will be Sky Moore and MVS for sure. I think those are the guys that are going to carry the workload in that receiver room. And expecting, like, obviously we know we lost Jordy Fortson for the year. Hopefully he comes back healthy as well and can bounce back. But having the tight end room and how elite they were last year, I think we led the league in, like, as far as explosive plays using 12 or 13 personnel. So we were very, very explosive when we went heavy. But adding that we have that big receiver factor when we go into the red zone now you can have a lineup with an MVS who's 6'4", a Justin Ross, a Travis Kelce who's 6'5", and you have Sky Moore who's shifty. You can have that bigger lineup to where you can do some different things in the red zone. And we saw a little preview of that when they threw that jump ball to Justin Ross in the end zone versus the Cleveland Browns in the third preseason game. So just having different things, different looks that we really, as Chiefs fans, haven't seen a whole lot of in the Pat Mahomes era, that's going to be great for this offense, and something that the Detroit Lions haven't seen from us as well. So there's a lot of nuance. You know how Andy is, like Chris said, week one, whole offseason to prepare. He's been cooking up. Obviously, he's probably pissed off about the Chris Jones news, and I expect our defense to not be at their full strength. So they may give up some plays here or there, but to have our offense locked and loaded week one, you know, Andy always puts on a show. So I'm excited to go out there and see what he comes up with.
No, it's going to be electric. I think outside of a few packages, especially red zone packages in Ross's case, I don't really think we see a lot of them this week. I think they still want to develop a little bit. I think there's a chance that Ross or Watson or, you know, at least one of those wide receivers is inactive for the game, just because 7 is a lot to carry, actually, on the 47 you need. So that wouldn't surprise me. But let's get into everybody's, you know, still, I think, favorite part. Everyone loves to gamble. Everyone loves to know what's going to happen. So let's get in. This is more of the CJ portion of the show, because this man loves dropping cash. He's pretty dang good at it. CJ, what is your favorite prop bet heading into the game?
I have like 4 or 5 ones that I really, really love. But the best one that I think, as far as like player props, that I think is the easiest one, I got it yesterday. Take Patrick Mahomes rushing yards at 14.5. Take the over. I think he's cleared that in almost every opener he's had. I think the only one, I think last year versus the Cardinals, obviously that was a lesser talented defense, so he was getting rid of the ball quick. But most of the time when he faces a defense with a high pressure rate, he clears this rushing prop almost every time, especially on third down. He's one of the highest rated or highest rushing QBs on third down compared to last year as far as starting QBs in the league. So that's my favorite player prop for the game. Some other game props that I love in the game. I love the over. Me and Chris were talking about that offline. I think they have it at 54.5. Like Chris said, Chris Jones will not be playing. So, unfortunately, he won't be there. So, we know how explosive this offense in Detroit is and how explosive Andy and Patrick Mahomes are week one and versus NFC opponents. So, I expect the over to be a definitely good prop bet to play as well. I love that 54.5. And then I'm sure Chris has some other plays that he like. I wouldn't want to take up the whole segment myself. So.
No, you're good. Like, again, for those of you who know, I'm in Oklahoma State, so I'm not able to get on my phone and look at the
best. Chris sends me money when he wants
to. What just makes the most sense to me is you have so many of these new and young faces in the offense. Week one, bet on the guys that are reliable that have done it. So I would combine. I'm sure a lot of people are out there taking Travis Kelce anytime touchdowns. I'm sure a lot of you are taking Jerick McKinnon anytime touchdowns. Put them together. Because, like, those are the two red zone targets. Those are the two guys that clearly they like to focus the offense around in those red zone situations. A lot of the other guys, they may have some packages, but they're still learning their role. I would just take on the safe. The Chiefs are going to score more than two touchdowns. Like, they're going to score more than two of the touchdowns.
Absolutely.
With McKinnon, you're getting him the ability to rush it. With Travis, you know, if Mahomes throws two or three touchdowns, there's a pretty good odds that Travis is going to catch one of those. And there's also pretty good odds that McKinnon is probably going to catch the other one. So that's what I would do is just put it – instead of playing one or the other, just – I think they're both going to score. That's my favorite of the week.
No, that's not a bad prop at all. I mean, Jerick McKinnon had that streak of 9 touchdowns right at the end of the season last year. So, and some good value plays that obviously, like Chris said, he gave out the two favorites. If you wanted to take some guy that are locks to get a lot of targets in the red zone, have high opportunity to score, I love Travis Kelce. I love Jerick McKinnon. Some other guys that have good value as well, Isaiah Pacheco would be another great value in the red zone as well. I believe I saw on DraftKings Sportsbook I'm reading from, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was +320. And just so people are mindful, last year in the first four games of the season, Clyde had 5 touchdowns in the first four, and all of those touchdowns were inside the 5-yard line. So when they're in the red zone, they love putting 25 in there. You know, he got his patent shovel pass. You remember the Tampa Bay game when Pat says, "I'm like that"? Yeah, I know who he threw that ball to, right? Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So there were a lot of instances in that Arizona game he scored twice, I believe. So in the first part of the season, and, you know, they may try to – and I think every running back's role is kind of designated. 2-minute drill, third down is Jet McKinnon. First and second down is Isaiah Pacheco. Red zone is maybe Clyde. I think every running back kind of has their defined role. But when you get into these moments, get into these situations, they kind of have guys that they like. When they get into the red zone, it's usually going to be Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Jet McKinnon. So those would be two guys that I definitely love a lot. And obviously, if you want to take a long shot, just to give you like a put like a little $10 down, see what happens. You're not trying to make no real money. Justin Watson, who did score on Thursday night in the opener last year versus the Chargers, anytime touchdown, Justin Watson is +1,100 right now. So $10 would get you 120. So that's not a bad play either. Justin Ross, like Chris said, make sure he's active. Don't play him.
Make sure he's active.
Make sure he's active first. Justin Ross is +600. You never know. They may get to the red zone. Chris said they may keep it in the tuck. Andy may not want to bring him out too early. But if you do want to put a little sprinkle on there, $10 to get you $70. So those are some plays that I really like this week. And then I'm sure I'll drop some more in the timeline for you guys as well. Those are the ones I'm really, really confident in for sure.
Yeah, I just like the vets early. I think early in the season, take the vets. Yeah, you know, absolutely. Not necessarily that, you know, the rookies can't score. It's just you're trying to play the odds. And early on, these guys are know what to expect if actually played against live NFL defenses. Like, absolutely. Even though the Lions are kind of suspect defensively, take the vets early on in the season. They will have a higher chance. I did want to push back. I know you're the pro. I know you're. Yeah, I know you do very well on your bets. Do we think that last year's stats are fair for Clyde? So much has changed. He was a healthy scratch from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Do you think he's still going to get the – I think unless they're trying to showcase him to, like, trade him week 7 before the trade deadline.
You never know.
Is the only reason that he would play in the red zone.
No, and I agree with you.
Or there's an injury. Or there's an injury.
Yeah, like injury. Like, in a perfect world, I would love for the rotation we had last year to stay the same. Like, pop and jet, sprinkling a little Clyde just to give him reps and maybe, like, give him a spell for a break. But I'm done trying to convince myself. I've done that for the last 2 years, Chris. I know how Andy Reid works. As soon as we think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not going to play, he's going to sneak into that red zone package. We're going to be on the 5-yard line. And guess what play they're going to run? Shovel pass. And guess who's going to catch it? Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And everybody's going to be like, "Oh my God, why is he in the game?" I'm like, "Because he's going to score? What are you talking about?" Like, I get it. I want Jim McKinnon and Isaiah Pacheco in there too. But I know how Andy works. He's going to put Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the game. I'm just saying it's good value because I've seen this story before. Like, all 5 of his touchdowns, all 5 of them were inside the 5-yard line. Like, that's in the first 5 games of the year last year. And that's with Pacheco, with Jet McKinnon, everyone healthy. So to think that he can't get in the end zone one time in a game that we both expect to be high scoring, for the Chiefs to score maybe, what, 4 to 5, maybe touchdowns, there's a high possibility that Clyde could get one of those touchdowns. And for that value to be at plus 320, I love that play, just because they love to use him in the red zone, and he's a shorter guy, so you can't see him. So he can sneak out of the flat, do anything. And him and Pat have a rapport. The team, everybody in the team loves Clyde. I know fans kind of have like a love-hate relationship with him because of some of the good things and bad things he's done. But at the end of the day, I know how Andy Reid and his offense works. I know they're going to give Clyde his opportunities, mainly because they don't want to overuse Jet. Pacheco's coming off shoulder surgery. They probably don't want to use him too much. It's a long season. So a guy that was a healthy scratch doesn't have too much wear and tear on the tire. So I expect them to give Clyde some reps. And I know it's not going to make some fans too happy. But at the end of the day, the Chiefs are scoring points. That's what we want. But for this segment, clearly, I think he's great value just because I've seen this story before. And I know Andy likes to use him in the red zone. So.
And we have officially spent all of our season time talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He will not come up for the remaining of the season on this pod. No, I'm just but let's jump to the final part of this show, the game prediction. We talked about the bets. We talked about the changes in the offense and the defense. TJ, what is the final score and why?
My final score for this game, I have 34-27, which covers the spread. Because I think they have Chiefs at -6.5. So we do cover the 6.5. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game for all the reasons we've said during the whole show. Spags defenses usually start the season off pretty slow. You know, like I said earlier, tackling is usually one of the biggest issues of why defenses start off slow. You're not really used to hitting and getting guys on the ground for a week-to-week basis. And it usually takes like a game or two for you to get that feeling back of like, all right, I'm in a rhythm of tackling now. So now I know how to do that consistently. And obviously, like, it does kind of suck for Charles Aminihu not to be there, Chris Jones not to be there, arguably our two best pass rushers not being on the field. And this is a very good offensive line. They can run the football. They have high efficiency. Another prop that I like is for the opposing team, but I think they had David Montgomery's yard at 49.5. I think he cleared that just because we don't have two of our main D linemen up front. And we know this is a very good offensive line that can run the football. They were one of the better high-efficiency run football teams in the NFL last year. So I expect them to try to calm down the noise and get the crowd out of it and run the football. So I expect David Montgomery to be used early and often, and especially on the goal line as well. I think he may end up getting a touchdown. That's another guy I think that could score. So we know how our defense operates, Chris. Like, we start off slow at the beginning of the season. Guys take their lumps. We grow, hit the bye week. Playoffs, end of the season, we start to hit our stride. So I think it's gonna be a high scoring game. That's why I love the over. Jared Goff is not a stranger to scoring a lot of points, even though it may be on the road. But we know how our offense works week one with the offseason and versus NFC team. So I think the over in a high scoring game is definitely in our future. And like Pat said in his golfing tournament in the summer, we're great for ratings. So what better way to kick off the 2023 NFL season than a barn burner when you have like a 34-27 game, obviously, where the Kansas City Chiefs come out on top. But I think that's probably a good chance of scoring. I think both teams are definitely capable of scoring at least 28 points. So I expect the over to be a good play. That's why I like 34-27.
Hey, yeah, I think a lot of people are in that same boat. Think the Lions have a chance. They're going to keep it close. You can call me a homer. You can call me. I don't see it. Like, I was looking up and down this Lions roster trying to figure out why. First, like, again, the NFC is different than the NFC North. Like, I think they could that value there of them being a playoff team is real. Mm-hmm. But making the leap to being able to contend with the Kansas City Chiefs and Arrowhead, I don't see it. We've seen crazier things. This Chiefs team lost to the Colts last year before they went to the Super Bowl. Like, I get that any given Sunday. But just on paper, like, just looking at these two teams, even without Chris Jones, even without Charles Aminihu, I just don't see how the Lions match up. I think that with all the new faces in Detroit and with how poor Goff has played on the road last year, I think they get to 24 points, and that's because the Chiefs have 38 and they're able to score late. Like, I don't think it's close. And I know that sounds like the obnoxious Chiefs fans, that's just how I see it. 38-24 is my prediction. Maybe it's close after the first quarter, and then the Chiefs just start rolling. Goff starts to hit some snags with that crowd, with those new faces, and it just kind of keeps snowballing into a Chiefs route. That's how I see it playing out.
That's not even crazy. Like, we like.
I know it's not crazy. I'm saying if you're not a Chiefs fan listening to this, you're probably thinking, "Oh, you're." But like, just look at the rosters. Look at the.
No, yeah, like, you broke it down perfectly. Like, look at the players, look at the talent. The stats are there. We're not saying anything that's not crazy. Jared Goff, when they throw an interception, they usually lose on the road. Is where he only threw 6 touchdowns. So if he throws one touchdown and one interception, it could get ugly and there could be a 10-point lead. So that's not crazy at all.
You need a muffed punt, a tipped pick, and Juwan Taylor and Donovan Smith to have terrible debuts at tackles. Like, you need all of that to happen if you're a Lions fan.
It still may not be enough.
And it still may not be enough. Like, for real. Like,
no, for real.
So that's just how I see it playing out. I think it's a route. I think Chiefs start off the season 1-0 comfortably, put up some points. And we'll be celebrating heading into week two to Jacksonville, which that game has a totally different feel to it going on the road to play them. But, again, restore the roar. Fine, restore the roar. The other 17 weeks, not this week though. Not this week, fellas.
Good try though.
Oh man! But hey, CJ, before we get out of here, before we get going for week one football finally here, where can the good people find you at if they want to see more of these hot takes or these game takes we got?
You guys can definitely follow me on Twitter, as it says on the screen, at CGZ81. That's CJEEZY81. If you guys want to talk fantasy, if you want to talk gambling props, you want to talk X's and O's about the game, if you're going to the game, you want to meet up and say hi, I'm definitely going to be there with some friends. I can't wait to be in the Arrowhead parking lot, chilling with the best fans in the NFL, best fans in the world, in my opinion. And just like Chris said, this has been a long time coming. Seems like yesterday we were just in Arizona talking about the Super Bowl, and it was February. Now you blink, now we got to do it all over again. So let's go show them what a real fan base looks like, huh, Chris? Let's do it the right way.
Right, let's go. It's going to be awesome. And for me, you can find me at 10Penny88. I'll probably be live tweeting the game with a couple beers in me at home. Chris. You know, I got to get some wing stuff. I don't got Kansas City barbecue down here, so I go wings.
I'm going to send Chris some barbecue. Don't worry, guys.
Yeah, I go wings. I do have Gates barbecue stocked up. I got like 3 whole bottles of it in my fridge. So maybe I should find somewhere to slap some of that on there. But otherwise, we'll just be chilling out at the home and getting excited. But season is finally here. I can't wait to break down this game with you. And again, I think we both feel pretty confident that there's a lot of games on the schedule that we're going to be tough, and not to say this isn't quite match up for me. I think there's just too many things going for us. So
no, absolutely. I thought our schedule would have been way harder, and I tell my friends this all off season. Given the fact we won the Super Bowl in 2 and 4 years, they kind of went light on the beginning of our schedule. Like,
so
we played in our first 6 games, we played the Lions, Bears, and the Vikings. None of those teams have really good defenses coming into the season, so I was very shocked to be the starter of our season. I'm not trying to disrespect our opponents. Like, the Lions are a good football team. The Jaguars week 2 are a good football team. But thinking of how this season could have went and how the starting of the season went last year, this is best case scenario in my opinion. So I'm super excited for this year. I think we can get off to a really good start.
Ready to see some points up on that scoreboard to start the year. But we will be back next Tuesday to break it all down. For this week, though, thank you. We appreciate all the support. We'll talk to you next time.
Go Chiefs.